a synagogue, scripture, and open minds.
Grab your Bible and let's talk.
Welcome to the Bible Glitter and Glue podcast, where Bible study and thought-provoking conversation lead to creative teaching. Now, here are your hosts, David and Mary Nelson.
Welcome to this episode of Bible Glitter and Glue. I'm David, and across from me is my lovely wife, Mary.
Hello.
Mary, today we are going to be talking about something that both you and I really enjoy doing. We love to do, and that is studying the scripture, reading the word, and just really getting into it. Do you remember your first Bible?
I actually do remember my first Bible. I think I have it still. I don't know how old I was when I got it, but my parents bought it for me. It was white. It was imitation leather. It had red lettering for the words of Jesus. It had family tree in the front where you could write your father, mother, grandparents. So I filled that in my little printing that I was barely able to print. It was a King James Bible. I don't know how much I could really read at that time, but I knew it was special.
That's cool.
What about you, David? Can you remember your first Bible?
I think so. I think I was about 10 when I got my first Bible. It was a gift. It was a gift from my Aunt Agnes. It was a small Bible, not a very small Bible. It was blue, like yours. It was red letter edition, King James translation. And I read it. I used it. In fact, I underlined different verses, different colors, because I wanted to know the Bible. I just wanted to study it. And I have it still. It's in my office at the Bible college, and I still pull it out and look at it and use it every once in a while. So I can remember my first Bible.
These people in the story today, in the scriptures we're reading today, they did study their scriptures in different way. We're going to read about some Jews, and so scripture was important, but Paul, in his journey, stopped in two different places, and in each of these places, we see a different reaction to the scripture.
Yeah, the two places Paul goes in our conversation today is Thessalonica and Berea. And Mary, I find it interesting that even though these places are close together, the people react very differently to the preaching of Paul. So our text we're going to be talking about today is Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 15. And Mary, why don't we read it? Why don't we read it in parts? So I'll just start out reading. Paul and Silas traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia and came to Thessalonica. In that city there was a Jewish synagogue. Paul went into the synagogue, as he always did, on each Sabbath day for 3 weeks. Paul talked with the Jews about the scriptures. He explained and proved that the Christ must die and then rise from death. He said, "This Jesus I am telling you about is the Christ." Some of the Jews were convinced and joined Paul and Silas. Many of the Greeks who worshiped the true God and many of the important women joined them.
But the Jews became jealous. They got some evil men from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot. They ran to Jason's house looking for Paul and Silas. The men wanted to bring Paul and Silas out to the people, but they did not find them. So they dragged Jason and some other believers to the leaders of the city. The people were yelling, "These men have made trouble everywhere in the world, and now they have come here too. Jason is keeping them in his house. All of them do things against the laws of Caesar. They say that there is another king called Jesus." When the people and the leaders of the city heard these things, they became very upset. They made Jason and the others put up a sum of money. Then they let the believers go free. That's Thessalonica.
Okay. You know, Paul and his company, they have traveled so far on this second journey. You know, by land and sea, they've traveled over 1,500 kilometers, or about 950 miles, and now they come to Thessalonica. and this is the capital of the Roman Macedonian province, had a population of about 200,000 people, so it wasn't a small city, it was a big city. There was gold mines and silver and copper, iron and lead mines, so it made it a wealthy city. It had a major seaport for the whole of Macedonia, even had a Roman naval base there.
It's a beautiful place. It's on the sea. As you said, it's a Roman naval base, so of course it is. But it's actually now called Thessaloniki in Greece, and it's a pretty place to visit. Well, just before this visit to Thessalonica, Paul had been in Philippi, just along on the Roman road. And in that place, he'd had success. There were people converted. Remember Lydia, the jailer. And now here he arrives in Thessalonica. Now they're Jews here. There was no synagogue in Philippi, but there is here in Thessalonica. So that's where he goes first.
Yeah. So in verse 2, it says Paul went into the synagogue as he always did. So we're told that when Paul went to a new city, if we've been reading Acts, we can understand because the first place he goes is to a synagogue where there was a synagogue. And we might be wondering, why does he do that? Well, because the Jews were to hear the gospel first. Prophecy mentioned that. Paul talks about that in some of his letters. And so Paul needs to go to the synagogue first to preach the good news about Jesus to them. And they would have a connection because they would already know the scripture and understand the scripture and be familiar with the scripture. But also with the synagogue, there were several Greeks that had rejected their pagan background who were attracted to the Jewish way of life, the Jewish God. And so they went to the synagogue too. They weren't proselytes, but they had connected themselves to the synagogue. So they would have heard the scripture week after week as well. So they would be familiar with some of the things that Paul was preaching about.
And Paul was uniquely qualified to even be speaking at a synagogue. You know, remember, he was an educated Jew. He had studied with the best. So he was welcome when he came in to talk about these things. And I enjoy what it says in verse 3. He explained and proved that Christ must die and then rise from death. You know, he was doing that from an Old Testament. The scripture was not the New Testament that we have today. It would have just been from Old Testament scriptures. But he was able to show them that Jesus was the Christ. And a lot of people believe, men and women. I think it's interesting here, it says some important women. So these are leaders in the town.
Yeah, that is an interesting comment, isn't it? I find it also helpful. It says in verse 4 that some of the Jews were convinced, but many of the Greeks, and we're going to read later on, when he's in Berea, it's going to be many of the Jews, but here just some of the Jews were convinced and they became believers. Paul was doing this, but wherever Paul went, trouble seems to follow. There's no exception here in Thessalonica. In verse 5, it says the Jews became jealous. What do? Well, they go to the marketplace and they round up the worst kind of people possible to form a mob and start a riot. They want to start a riot, but they want Paul to be blamed for it. And so they go to Jason's house because evidently that was where Paul and Silas and his company were staying, but they couldn't find Paul and Silas there. So they grabbed Jason and they brought him before the city leaders, these Roman city leaders.
I think it's so graphic here. They dragged him. This was a violent occasion, I'd say. It's almost like a gang activity. We're going to go get these people to do a hit, and they go and get them. So these are bad characters, and so they're getting Jason, because if they can get Jason in front of the city leaders, they can make accusations, because remember, this was a Roman-occupied place, so Roman rules. That means if you cause trouble, you're going to have to answer to the Roman officials. So people tried to stay out of trouble, but here they are. If you want somebody to get hurt, make sure that they get hurt by the Romans.
Yeah, it was a serious thing to be responsible for causing a riot. And not only that, they were saying, Jason is keeping these troublemakers in his house. And that was another serious charge. So Jason's in trouble here.
But it was a specific kind of charge that they were trying to make stick, because they were saying, obviously, their king is Caesar. But Paul and all of these people, they were saying, he's talking about another king. They're trying to make it treason.
Yeah, that was a serious thing, too, because Caesar would have no rival. And for them to say anything about Jesus being this long-awaited king and that he is the king of the world, I can understand why that can be heard as a threat to the reign of Caesar.
Later on, we're going to be talking about the other town, and it will be compared with this one. And I think it's probably good to pause and think about the Jews that were jealous and causing trouble. It's not just that they had those feelings. They go and get the worst kind of people to try to form a riot. Right there it tells you, okay, this is not like a fair fight. They're going to get the dirty. They're going to do whatever it takes. It doesn't matter that that's not the right thing to do. They're going to do it because they have what they believe is a just cause, whatever it takes to get rid of Paul. So they get those people. And David, do you find it interesting here? I do. If they're so upset and this is treason, wouldn't you think it would be almost like it would be the death penalty? I would have thought treason against Caesar would be about the worst thing you could possibly do, but it's like money solved it. Okay, just pay us some money and you can go again. I don't know. That gives me a clue that these were not good people. They didn't mind doing bad things to get their way, and it makes me not trust them, really.
Things were really hot in Thessalonica. Paul needed to leave, and so the believers sent Paul away, and they did that at night so he can sneak out of town. And they go to Berea. Berea is a small town. It's out of the way. It's not on the major Roman road, but that's where Paul goes. And so now we're at verse 10. So Mary, why don't you read that for us?
Sure. That same night, the believers sent Paul and Silas to Berea. There, Paul and Silas went to the Jewish synagogue. These Jews were better than the Jews in Thessalonica. They were eager to hear the things Paul and Silas said. These Jews in Berea studied the scriptures every day to find out if these things were true. So many of them believed. Many important Greek men and women also believed. But when the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God in Berea, they came there too. They upset the people and made trouble. So the believers quickly sent Paul away to the coast. But Silas and Timothy stayed in Berea. The men who took Paul went with him to Athens. Then they carried a message from Paul back to Silas and Timothy. It said, "Come to me as soon as you can."
So as soon as the Sabbath rolled around, Paul was at the synagogue preaching about Jesus. So even though he had to leave Thessalonica because of his preaching, that does not stop him from preaching. But in Berea, these Jewish people were different. It says in verse 11, they were better than the Jews. Other translations will read, they were more noble. And others might read, they had a receptive mind or receptive heart.
But they weren't just blindly accepting it. I really like how the scripture records that they were studying every day. They were really trying to find the answers, and they were studying to find out if these things were true. So they were testing it, and that's okay. I mean, that's good. A good thing,
yeah,
to test what you're hearing. And of course, the word of God is going to stand up to that. And it did, and they believed.
Two extremes. You can just simply reject it. Nah, don't want to hear it. Don't even think about it. Already have my mind made up. And then the other extreme, you hear it and you just believe it. Just accept it. Just gullibly accept it. But like you pointed out, they're not either one of those. They didn't quickly accept it or didn't quickly reject it. They said, we need to look into this. And so they did. After the Sabbath, during that week, I can just see them poring over the scripture to read and to reread and to compare, reflect on, just trying to come to an understanding because they knew that these matters were very important. Paul was not saying something brand new to them because he was preaching from his scripture, their scripture, the same scripture. They were looking for the Messiah. And Paul is just pointing out that these scriptures are pointing to Jesus. He is this Messiah.
David, I was blessed to be able to be in Berea, which is the Greek name for the city of Berea. And they're proud of that history, actually. There is a monument, an area built up. There are some steps that could be, you know, the steps that Paul stood on as he spoke. But they've built a big wall of mosaics showing the people hearing the word, showing Paul preaching, showing the men and women who are accepting what he's saying. They're happy to show off that their city heard and listened. And it's a bit ironic because if you go to Thessaloniki, they don't make as big a deal about Paul's visit. So, I mean, that does not reflect as well on them at that time. So I just found that quite interesting.
Yeah, I think if I lived in Berea, I would be proud as well. We read about these Berean Jews. We don't know who they were. We don't have their names or anything like that, but we're drawn to them because we know that their attitude is something attractive, something as an example to us. It's easy for us to dismiss someone that we don't know or something that someone is saying because we haven't heard it before. It's easy to dismiss that without even thinking about it. But before we dismiss people or dismiss what they're saying, we should listen to them, truly listen to them, not just to listen to hear what we want to hear, but to truly listen to them and then compare what they're saying, what they're teaching with the scripture, which means that we need to go back to the Bible ourselves, not just assuming that our present understanding is the correct understanding, because what they may be teaching may be more correct than what we know. So we need to have this stance of humility, and I think these Bereans had that. I need to have this stance of humility, having an open mind, receptive heart, knowing that I don't know everything. I don't have all the information. Someone knows more than me or knows other things that will help me. So I need to always be willing to listen.
Well, that takes it away from the idea we have arrived. We know it all. It's still a journey for every one of us until the day we die. I think we continue to grow. At least that's the healthy, balanced Christian life that God lays out for us, that we continue to grow. But everything was good here, but then everything changed because the people in Thessalonica somehow heard about what was happening in Berea. If they were jealous about believers in Thessalonica, they were really going to be jealous about what was happening to Berea, all these people believing. So they came, and here they are, another tactic. They didn't mind using tactics that were hurtful and bad to get their way. So they travel all the way to Berea and stir up trouble again.
Well, this time before it got too hot, the believers quickly sent Paul away to the coast where he may have taken a boat down to Athens. Silas and Timothy stayed behind in Berea, but Paul said, come to Athens as soon as you can.
I think that's really touching, that last verse. Come as soon as you can. He did not want to be separated from these companions. These were people that had traveled with him this whole time. And Athens was a really challenging place to go. And here's Paul. He's going to Athens alone. And we'll read more about that later. But separating this group was a hard thing.
Mary, there is more we can say about this. But when you are teaching children, how do you approach this text? What can you do and what can you say that will help children to really make sense and understand and learn something from this story?
Well, I think, like you said, there are lots of things in here you could talk about. You could talk about these attitudes, the bad behavior. But I think at the core of it, I want to talk about the scripture. I want to talk about how we handle the Word of God. Are we reading it? Are we appreciating it? Are we reading it with an open mind? If we find something in the scripture, do we want to do what it says? All of those things are really important values for children to carry into their entire Christian life. And so as children, I want them to be thinking about that already. You know, the smallest babies, we have an infants and toddlers class at our church. I taught that last week. And we have the children hold a little Bible, and they pat the Bible, and they turn the pages. You know, it's just an introduction, of course. They don't quite understand what it is, but that idea of the Word of God is special, and how we handle it is important. We treat it as special. And so with children, I want to make sure that I don't assume that they know a lot about the Bible. I want to assume that let's start at the beginning. So we open the Bible, we look at the table of contents. So many visitors to church, you know, they've never looked at the Bible, and they're so happy to know there's a table of contents because they can find the books as you're talking about them. So we look at that, talk about there's 66 books put together to make up this one book called the Bible. I take children through learning what a book of the Bible is, and then what a chapter is, and a verse, because when you write on the board Acts chapter 17, verse 1, which is where today's story starts, then they know, oh, that first is the book, that second number is the chapter, and then that last number is the verse, and they know to look for the little bitty numbers in their Bible because those are the verses. These are just simple things. Sometimes we forget that we had to learn that once. So I want to make sure children understand that and just appreciate that. There are some good verses. I really like 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, talking about the importance of the Word of God and how it helps us, how we should handle it. So all of those things, David. I think this is a great story to bring all of that to life. So you've had adults that have often handled a Bible for a long time. What are you going to be doing in your class?
Well, questions are always good to ask. I would ask the class these kinds of questions. You know, Paul goes to the synagogue, it says, as he always did. So why would Paul go to the synagogue first in order to talk about Jesus, to preach about Jesus? Why was that important to Paul? What was he hoping to happen in the synagogue? And the second question is, you know, the response in Thessalonica, when the Jews became upset, they charged Paul with preaching Jesus as a rival king to Caesar. Preaching Jesus as a king or the king, why would that upset people? Why would that upset people today to preach that Jesus is the king? And then a third question is, how serious is this charge about Jesus being a rival to Caesar? So those are a few questions that I think will generate some good discussion in class. And as Mary, as you talked about in the children's context of teaching them to respect the scripture and to appreciate it, I think as teachers, we need to always be developing our skills and studying the scripture. So I offer this today as a fellow teacher. When we're studying for a class and reading a text of scripture or a story, read the whole text, read the whole context, whether it's a story or something else, just read the whole context. Don't just pick one verse or two verses and try to understand what the scripture is saying. These verses are only part of a larger context. We need to capture and understand what the larger context is. So the scripture makes sense when it's put in its context. Read the passage, and then reread the passage, and then reread it again, and be thinking the whole time you're reading, what is being said here? How does a text flow? How are its thoughts being developed? How are the different parts of the text connecting together? Try and get into the habit of reading paragraphs instead of single verses, or try and get in the habit of thinking paragraphs instead of just thinking single verses. And remember this, and my students at the Bible College will be able to quote this because I say this over and over again. Remember, context is everything. So those are a couple of thoughts on teaching adults, but you know what? I really like Mission Bible Class because it does this very thing. It takes a story and it looks at it in its context. It offers background information, and that's part of the context. It also includes other scriptures that relate to the same idea or thought. So those are all good things in helping us to understand the scripture in its context. So if you have not checked out Mission Bible Class, check it out.
Well, thanks, David. But I think those of us who teach children, we know that we are studying the same scripture that those who are teaching adults are. And we learn as we study. And that's really important. I know I learn every time I teach. I learn something more about the Bible, about myself, even about the children I teach. And that's what happens when the Word of God is active in our lives. And David, I know you're the same. That's the kind of teachers we want to be.
That's right, Mary. And may God bless you as you speak into the lives of adults and children.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Glitter and Glue podcast. Subscribe now to listen to new weekly episodes and visit missionbibleclass.org for more free resources to help you share God's Word with children.